relationships, marriage, family type stuff, studies, see what the Bible says about these things. 1 Corinthians 7, if you just want to remember a chapter in the Bible that really deals with marriage from a Christian point of view, 1 Corinthians 7 really does cover a lot of facets of it. I'm going to try to get through the chapter. I don't know if it's kind of like in Numbers. We'll see how far we get with this. But this is a series of instructions from Paul. I'll be honest, you really get the feel from Paul that he wasn't necessarily not a fan of marriage, but he just didn't see it as important as we probably see it. But he doesn't discourage it or anything like that. But he's not a married man. Daniel wasn't. There's several men in the Bible that weren't married. And so his whole view of life basically is you just need to be serving the Lord. And if you need to do it married, then you need to do it married. If you need to do it single, you need to do it single. But either way, you just need to be serving God. And that's Paul's perspective on the whole thing. But he gives a series of detailed instructions on marriage or ways of viewing marriage in 1 Corinthians 7. And like I said, a couple weeks ago, one thing to keep in mind about the gospel of Jesus Christ is the Lord taught about a lot of different things. Everything he said was not just about heaven and hell. He had teaching about family. He had teaching about being an employee. There's all kinds of teachings. And when you say you're going to trust Jesus Christ, it means you're going to trust his instructions about a myriad of things. Not just, you know, eternal life. He obviously has stuff to say about that. But it's everything else he said. And so Jesus Christ has things to say about family that God created, that those relationships. And then Paul sort of puts a lot of these things in perspective as far as Christianity goes after the resurrection. What should the view be of we'll deal with it today, these of marriage. And there are a couple things to think about is, along the lines of what Paul says, marriage is, and I mentioned it, I said it in a little video yesterday, but it's not, you're not more of a person if you're married. You're not less of a person if you're not married. That's not what makes people people. It's a relationship, and there's a lot of benefits to marriage, but single, married, you don't want to get, I know that there's a real draw to be married. You got to feel like you need to be married, and maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's just not the idea that, for instance, sometimes the old idea that women are supposed to be wives and have a bunch of kids and stuff like that, and that maybe it's your case, but maybe it's not. It's not a universal thing. Paul's pretty, I should say, the Lord is pretty flexible about these things, and he basically gets to the point of, if you can serve the Lord doing it this way, then serve the Lord doing it this way. If you can serve the Lord doing it that way, serve the Lord doing it that way. The bottom line is, the point of it is, serve the Lord, and if there's a better way for you to do it, then do it this better way. If it makes it easier, it makes it more tolerable in this life, then do it this way. But serving the Lord is the point. And you can do that single, you can do that married, and all of those things are true. So 1 Corinthians 7, just a series of instructions here. And the thing that ties them all together is he's talking about the marriage relationship. That's the thing that ties the whole thing together in this chapter. So there's going to be instructions about all kinds of different aspects of that. But let's pray real quick, and we'll see how much of this we can get through. But let's pray, then we'll talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and these marriage instructions for a Christian's life. Father, thank you for these words. One more time, thank you for everybody that's here and this opportunity to open up your words and learn from you, and I pray we would. I pray you'd guide us. I pray you'd help me say what you want said, and thank you for again salvation in Jesus Christ, eternal life in Jesus Christ, and just these words of guidance that you've given to us. And I pray you'd help us today in our relationships. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so immediately let's get out of our mind that the gospel is just this little thing about heaven and hell and Jesus Christ. The gospel is all of Jesus Christ's teachings about everything that he taught about. And this is included. This is part of it. It's all of Jesus Christ's life and everything he taught about it. Now, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthians had a number of problems that he had to deal with. Fornication, you know, sleeping around, stuff like that was a problem. There was other problems, but that's one of them, and that he's going to address that in this chapter or this part of the letter. But this is a letter to a church, to a congregation of people who apparently had some questions about this. Like, what should these relationships look like? What are they supposed to turn into? How are we supposed to treat these relationships? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's dig into it here. Verses 1 through 6 deal with the specific issue of fornication and what marriage answers in that. It deals with, if you're going to be sleeping around, you need to get married. That's the idea. So chapter 7, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me." So they had questions about this. "Things you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." This is one of those things, back a couple weeks ago, the thing that sanctifies the union is the commitment to each other, the devotion to each other. And so he says in verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband." So it's mutual. This is an agreement. This is a commitment you guys have made to each other if you're married. And it answers the problem of just, you know, loose morals and sleeping around and you know, friends with benefits type stuff. Paul says, just get married. If you're going to be in this relationship, get married. And so marriage is an answer to fornication. You know, if it's, let's keep reading. Verse 4, "The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife." You got sharing. This is, it's everything is shared, like we talked about before. "Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." It's like lack of self-control is what that is. And so all of that deals with physical aspects of marriage. Maybe you didn't know that was in the Bible, but yeah, all that stuff's in the Bible. It's all in there. It deals with all kinds of details of people's lives. And what is a Christian supposed to think about this? So this mutual submission, it's a guard against bringing sin into the marriage or into this relationship or living in sin, so to speak. It's not meant to, you know, the physical aspects of this are not meant to, they're meant to answer fornication. If, you know, however you do it in your marriage is how you do it. But schedule, whatever it is you got to do, don't use the bedroom for punishment, things like that. The idea is, Paul says, look, if this is This is an answer to fornication, and it's also, it can also become a problem that Satan will get into the middle of if you don't live it out the way it's supposed to be lived out in your marriage. And so I'm not going to delve into all of the details of this because there was so much more to deal with. But I will say this is addressed. The physical parts of marriage are addressed in the Bible. And it's very real. It's very, it's a real thing. It can become a real problem. And so Paul says, look, if you guys are going to be messing around, get married. That's the idea. The second thought is, after he gets through with verses 1 through 5, he deals with widows and single people. Are they allowed to get married? What's the rule with that? You know, some of you are familiar with big church fights about divorce and remarriage and stuff like that. So Paul's going to address this stuff. All right. Obviously, the Corinthians had questions about it. They're wondering, what are we supposed to do with these situations? So verse 7 through 9, basically, he says this: I would that all men were even as myself. What does that mean? That means he's not married. And it's easier for him to serve God, travel the way he needs to travel, go visit these churches, be thrown in jail without being married. It's easier for him to do this. But that's not the reality for everybody. Everyone doesn't live like Paul does. That's why Paul would say in the verse before, look, I'm telling you this not by commandment. I don't have an Old Testament verse to tell you this is the way you're supposed to do it. It's something that I've learned over time. I wish everybody was kind of like me, but that's not the reality of the case. So verse 7, I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, another after that. And I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. All right, if you can do that, okay, that's good. But you don't have to do that. Paul just says, look, if you don't have the urge to the necessity to get remarried, that's good. That's a good thing. That's good. It's good if you don't have that complicating your life. If you're a widow, if you're unmarried and you don't have the urge to be married, and you don't have the need to find somebody else, that's good. You're in kind of a content place. That's a good place to be. But that's not how everybody lives. Not everybody is that. And Paul recognizes that, or I should say the Holy Spirit understands that. So verse 8 says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. If you have to be in a relationship, okay, then you've got to, you just need to do that. It's necessary. Okay, so get married. So what he's saying there essentially is, if you stay single because you want to stay single and serve God, good. God bless you for doing that. If you want to get married, or if you feel like you need to get married to serve God, do that. Do that so it's not a distraction, so you're not running around, you know, whatever you could, just going around to everybody. Get married if you need to get married. And there's no sin in it. There's no sin in either of those cases. Remember, I mean, there's liberty in Jesus Christ. It's not about marriage, unmarried, single. It's not about any of those things. It's about serving God and how you need to serve God. If you need to get married, get married. There's no sin in it. So that's what he says in verse 9. If they cannot contain, let them marry. Better to marry than to burn. That's just, you get the idea. Someone who wants to really be in a relationship, and they may need to be in a relationship. In fact, I'll add this to that. There was a time when Jesus Christ himself said to the disciples about, he was talking about marriage and then how a marriage gets broken up. If there's adultery, the marriage gets broken up. And he's talking about divorce, and somebody had tempted him with the question of divorce. And so the Lord Jesus Christ explains that, you know, this is what God's put together, let him put asunder, all that. And he says, but in the case of adultery, there's a broken marriage there, so, you know, it's broken. And as he goes through and explains this, the disciples say, well, it sounds like it's better if you just never get married. This just sounds really complicated. And Jesus says, well, some people do that. Some people choose to not be married. Some people are made eunuchs, guys like Daniel, where they're made into this, they can't have children. Some people choose it. Some people are just not born with the desire to be married. They're fine being single. But then he says, but not everybody's like that. Some people need to be married. They just need to be married. That's on their mind. And so this is what Paul's saying, and he's kind of reiterating what Jesus said to the disciples when he was explaining it. So he says, if they cannot contain, let them marry. Verse 9, it's better to marry than to burn. And so this is what Paul deals with, the single side of this. And then verses 10 through 11, and this, again, this will be a little bit more teachy this morning. 10 and 11, you've got two married believers. And he says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. So now this is not my opinion anymore. This is what God says to you. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not her husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Well, let's deal with the 10 and 11 first. He's going to talk about reconciliation, first of all. Now, we're not dealing with abuse and stuff like that here. That's not what we're dealing with. This is the irreconcilable difference type stuff. This is the, I don't like him anymore, I don't have feelings for him, I don't have feelings for her anymore. The point and the view of marriage is, in this relationship, you're gonna learn things that are gonna be helpful to you. You're gonna learn how to be selfless, or you're gonna destroy the relationship. You're gonna learn how to actually love someone that's not you. You're gonna learn how to care about and support someone that's not you. And that's helpful. That's good for you. That's good for people to learn. Good for people to learn those things. And so if something happens where, you know, I just don't feel it anymore, or generally, you found somebody else because you were looking for somebody else, and Paul says, no, that's not how this works. First, reconcile this thing, because all of the benefits are going to be from this arrangement. The blessings are going to be found in overcoming the problems, not in abandoning the relationship. The benefits come from learning from these problems, and he'll deal with a little bit more on reconciliation in a minute. So to married believers, he talks about staying married if you can, which verses 12 through 16. In fact, let's read those. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not. So you've got one believing party married to an unbeliever. The woman, verse 13, which hath a husband that believeth not, and he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Kind of a weird way of saying, you know, you've got the Lord in this relationship, and that's good. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. All right, I'm going to stop at 14. The situation in this case is, you've got a marriage between an unbeliever and a believer, a Christian and a non-Christian. And Paul is going to explain that the marriage is a place where you can demonstrate attributes of God to the other party. And so it's better to stick around if the unbelieving person, and I'll say this, I have heard, not often, but I have heard advice where someone was married to someone who wasn't a Christian, and the advice was, and again, I haven't heard this often, but I've heard it. They'd say, you need to get the divorce so you can find someone who's a Christian. That is absolutely contrary to what Paul just said. The point is, you're going to be able to live out your life exposing the other person to Jesus Christ in a way that they wouldn't otherwise be seeing Jesus Christ. And some of you guys, I see you shaking your head, some of you are your testimonies to this, where you got married, you weren't saved people, one of you got saved along the way, and became a testimony to the other person. And the other person learned and watched and all that, and they eventually came to a point where they trusted Jesus Christ like you did. And so that's Paul's advice in this. Stay married because you are now a testimony to the other person. Peter will talk about it. Like if you're going to convince to the wife, if you're going to convince your husband, then live out your Christianity so that he sees it. And he watches, because he's just going to be observing you. He's going to be watching for inconsistencies in what you say and do. If you say Jesus Christ is this way and you act another way, well, then he finds an inconsistency and he's not going to believe you. But if your behavior matches your testimony and your confession, well, that's an apologetic. That's an argument to make for Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says, or Peter says it later on. So you got an unmarried to a married person, whether it's wife or husband, husband or wife, however that works. The principle at work is you're now a testimony to the other person. You're now a representation of the Lord to the other person. So that's verses 12 through 16. Married to unbelievers, stay married if you can. Don't try to be. Don't try to get out of it. It's you're married. You're a testimony to them. You can be a help to them. And then verses 17 through 24. We may actually get through this. Paul says, "Well, in fact, let's finish up what." That last part. Verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? So, if they want to stay, good. You're a testimony. If they say, I do not want any part of this Christian stuff, I don't want any part of your religion, I don't want any part of this anymore, you're a kook, you're a nut, I don't want any part of this, and they decide to leave, Paul says, okay, well, that's the decision. That's you're not under any obligation in that case. And so that's the advice he has for folks where there's a lost person, a saved person, a Christian, non-Christian in the relationship. Then verses 17 on, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? This is just an illustration now. Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. This is just an illustration. The point is, wherever you will find yourself, serve God where you are. Don't try to be something you're not. If you don't want to be married, you don't need to be married. You don't have to be married. If you want to be married, get married. But serve God, and serve God where you are, wherever it is you find yourself. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. That's the idea. Wherever you find yourself, that's serve God where you're at. So married, single, just live how God made you. If you need a wife, get married. If you need a husband, get married. If you don't need a wife, don't get married. If you don't need a husband, don't get married. What's important is obeying the will of God. And then we have a little problem here, because Paul says in verse 19, but circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but keeping of the commandments of God. I know we're really averse to that phrase, keep the commandments. Oh, legalism, legalism, legalism. No, that's not exactly it. Paul said keep the commandments of God. So what are the commandments? Well, these are some of the commandments here. This is some of it. This is some of it. So a lot of liberty there. There's get married, don't get married, but serve God in it, wherever you find yourself. Verse 21, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You're bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men, brethren. Let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. A lot of freedom there. Generally, as a general rule, and as we've said a few times here, Christians aren't all supposed to be doing the same thing, and they aren't all supposed to be in the same relationships, and they aren't all supposed to be acting necessarily the same way. I said, well, acting according to the fruit of the Spirit, but there's a lot of diversity in Christianity, and there's supposed to be. There's all kinds of ways of serving God, and so that's what really comes through here. Brethren, let every man wherein he's called therein abide with God. Verse 25, and I debated whether to go through this part of this, but we got a little bit of time here, so we'll probably finish it up. Verses 25 through 28, again, deal with there's no sin in marriage, and the virgin, the word virgin in the King James Bible just sounds like it means someone who's single or betrothed or somebody who may think about getting married. But verse 25 says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I'll be honest with you, you read stuff like this, and it's like, okay, this is someone's opinion. This is Paul's opinion. It's a wise opinion. But rarely do you read someone who doesn't say, thus saith the Lord. And Paul is saying, well, I'm giving you my thoughts on this. I think I've got the Spirit of God. I think I've learned some things. I don't have an Old Testament scripture to tell you do this. But I think this is some good advice here. And that's an interesting way of talking, because we want him to just tell us the way it is, black and white, right? This is it. But Paul doesn't do it that way. So he says in verse 25, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it's good for a man so to be. Unmarried, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. There you go. Same thing he's been saying for a while. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. So there's no sin in it. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. It's interesting the way he's going to characterize this. as you go on here, if you haven't noticed, he said kind of the same thing multiple times here. It's okay to be married. It's okay not to be married. Serve the Lord in whatever case you find yourself in. And don't try to be something you're not. And however you find yourself, if you're married, stay married. If you're unmarried, stay unmarried. However you find yourself, serve the Lord there. No sin in it. But then he says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, verse 29, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world, not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. And this is the idea. It's kind of the same It's similar thought to what he says in Philippians, where he says, look, I've learned to be rich, I've learned to be poor, I've learned to be hungry, I've learned to be full. I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, to be content in that state. I've learned how to be content. And this is kind of the same thought process, and that you're not going to go to extremes in any of these cases. You're just going to live within your means. You're going to live the way God intended, and whatever your personality is, and serve God that way. And whether the circumstances are bountiful or the circumstances are you're poor, bountiful, whatever the case is, we're going to be content. Paul's he's learned that. He's understood that. And then he goes on. Verse 30, they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world, not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, and how he may please the Lord. So he's not, Paul's position on it is he's not distracted. This person isn't distracted by this relationship. And he's a little bit more free. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Verse 33. Now, that's an interesting thing to say. One of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ said in a parable about the Word of God was, and this is why Paul brings up this carefulness. In the sower and the seed, if y'all remember that parable, the sower and the seed. The sower sows the seed, and the seed starts to grow sometimes, or it's on the wayside, and then the seed that starts to grow, either it's on rock, so it doesn't have any place to set any roots, and then in the other seed that's not good, it grows up, but it grows up a bunch of weeds around it, and it grows up in the midst of that. And Jesus Christ calls that, one of the places he says, he calls that the cares of this world. They choke out the Word of God. And this is Paul's concern, that marriage introduces, or it can and it has the potential to potential to introduce complications in life, because you just naturally, you have to care for things of this world. You have to care about your finances. You have to care about the future. You have to care about where you live. Whereas if you're single, you may not mind living in your truck or something. But if you're married, your wife doesn't want to live in your truck. And so this is what Paul's saying. You have to care for things of the world if you're married. Now, those things don't have to choke out the Word of God, but the tendency is they do. That's the tendency. They just do. Because they become more of a priority in life than the words of God. And Paul says, look, I want you to be careful, because this is the nature of this thing. And it's going to sound like anti-marriage stuff. It's not anti-marriage. It's just be careful with it. You enter into this relationship, you're going to have to care about things you didn't have to care about before. And those things are characterized as cares of the world. And when Jesus Christ gives that parable, he says, look, the cares of the world come in. They just choke the Word of God. Why? Because they have a tendency to be more pressing than what God said. I need money. I need a place to stay. I got to have a job. I got to have it. And those are all good things. But when you're not with someone and you're by yourself, you have a little bit more flexibility not to have to. Well, you don't have as much responsibility. And so Paul says, look, I'm not saying don't be married. I'm saying get married if you need to get married, but be careful, because this is the nature of this. This is how this goes. And so he characterizes it in verse 33, I think it is, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. Oh, he's sinning. It's not sin. It's not even sin in the parable with the sower and the seed. It's just making things these priorities that that really eventually have to get done, but you're prioritizing these things in such a way that the Word of God is pushed to the back. And it doesn't mean you're whatever, you know, fornicating or all that stuff. It just means these things become priorities, and they become more priorities when you're responsible for other people. He that is married, verse 33, careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And then verse 34, 35, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. People like Anna, he'll deal with folks that are maybe widows that didn't get remarried, and people like Anna in the book of Luke are just, they're praying, they are committed to, they're just free to spend more time in prayer and spend more time in serving God and things like that. So verse 34, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So the husband cares for the things of the world and how he pleases his wife. The wife cares for the things of the world and how she pleases her husband. And that's not wrong. It can become bad, but it's not necessarily bad. It's just the nature of the relationship. You have to care for these things. You have to start caring for them. Verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. So he's really not trying to make this sound terrible, but he's trying to give you the reality of it. But for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. There's the idea, the distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass flower of her age, old enough to be married, all that stuff, and need so require, let him do that he will, and he sinneth not, let him marry. The point is about marriage. He's giving some warnings about, or just things to be careful about with it when it comes to marriage, but he's also saying it's not wrong to be married. It's okay to be married, serve God and be married, but just be careful how you do it. That's the idea. Then verse 37, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but he hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. I'm going to be honest, I don't understand the language in some of this, how it's worded. Who's giving who? Is it a father giving a daughter? I don't understand all of it. I do know the big point is marriage isn't a sin. It's not a sin to be married. It's okay. It's okay to be married. It's a celebration. It's good. It's happy. We're going to be at one next week, so it's good. Just be careful with it, because with marriage comes responsibilities, and those responsibilities become distractions from serving God. Then verses, we're going to finish this. We dealt with 36 through 38. Paul deals with unmarried, his opinion about all that stuff. Verse 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. Now he's going to deal with widows. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So there's some guidance on marrying like-minded Christian people. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So Paul, again, it's almost like he's apologizing for sounding like he's talking bad about marriage, but he's like, it's not a sin. If you want to get remarried, if you need to be remarried, that's fine. Do that. Do it in the Lord. But if you don't have that need, if you're not compelled to be remarried, somebody like Anna, again, in Luke, who had a husband for a while. Her husband passed away, and she never got remarried, and she just went to the temple and prayed and fasted and served God at the temple for 80 years, I guess it was. And Paul said, look, if you can do that, that's good. You don't have as many necessities. You don't have as many obligations. You don't have as much need in your life. If you can do it that way, do it that way. But if you need to get married, get married, and that's okay. And so all of this, these are all different aspects of married life, whether it's widows or it's singles, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case. The point of the whole thing is Paul puts serving God at the very center of all of this. And if you can serve God single, serve God single. If you can serve God married, serve God married. Be aware of what the complications may be, but serve God married. If you find yourself in a position where you're married to someone who's not like-minded, well, be a testimony to them. Be a good Christian in front of them. And if your husband or wife has passed on and you need to be remarried, get remarried. Marry a Christian. Marry someone who's like-minded. And if you don't need to be remarried, don't remarry. There's not a way of saying you have to be this way, you have to be this way, you have to be this way. What you have to be is serving the Lord. How you do that, you find in a myriad of different relationships and jobs, and even comes to ages and life how you do it. But the point is serving God as a Christian, being a light on this earth as a testimony of Jesus Christ, as someone who is a Christian living out the fruit of the Spirit. That's the point. That's the point. You don't have to be married to do it. You don't have to be single to do it. You don't have to be any particular relationship to do it. Just do that. And if you need to be in this relationship, be in it. If you don't, it's an answer to fornication. Good if you don't have to be in it. That's good. But the point is, this covers so many aspects of marriage and the questions apparently the Corinthians had. And Paul anchors the whole thing on, look, be a Christian, serve God, and whatever relationship you find yourself in, serve God. And if you can't serve God in that relationship, go into a relationship, be married, don't be married, whatever the case is. So I think you get the idea. So marriage instructions, if you want to ever think of, I wonder if the Bible says anything about general marriage instructions, 1 Corinthians 7 covers a broad spectrum of this and really anchors it in the point that serving God, being a light and a testimony in this world, and being a Christian in this world is the point of Christianity. And sometimes things get complicated. So anyhow, that is, I can't believe it. We covered the whole chapter. We just really covered the whole chapter. That's good. All right, let's pray. I think we'll pray. We'll get out of here this morning. It's noon. Perfect timing. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. We covered a lot of ground here at this time. You got a lot to say about these relationships. Maybe not what people expect to hear in some of these details, dealing with marriage, widows, fornication, all kinds of different scenarios here. But I pray that you would give us wisdom. That is just the thing that is needed, a wisdom of how to be a Christian in whatever scenario we find ourselves in, and or whatever scenario we need to put ourselves in. But just being Christians and being testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ, being ambassadors of God's kingdom in whatever scenario we are in, whatever relationships and jobs and I don't know, geography, where we are. How do we serve God where we are? And that's wisdom. And I pray that you'd help us in this specific case dealing with marriage and the various aspects of it. Thank you again for each soul that's here. I pray that you'd keep us safe. It looks like the hurricane's going to go somewhere else. Maybe we'll get some rain out of it. But I pray that you would give us some rain out of this, and we could always use it. And thank you again for how you take care of us, how you bless us, and thank you for Betty and all that she does on these Sunday mornings, cooking breakfast and taking care of us that way. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.